Honourable members, I think we need to start with the meeting. The time is exactly 9 o'clock and we've got only an hour to complete our business. This meeting is deemed to be called Joint Meeting of Committee on Private Members' Legislative Proposals and Special Petitions and the Standing Committee on Finance. I've been told that my colleague, Honorable Mufumadi, is still held up somewhere, possibly may join us in the process. But we won't, you know, wait until he arrives. He will just join us if he managed to finish other businesses of the day. I would want to take this opportunity to welcome everybody present here. My name is Setlamorago Thobejane, the chairperson of Private Members Legislative Proposals and Special Petitions. I will be, for time being, chairing the meeting up until my colleagues join us. And I want to welcome in particular members from the Standing Committee on Finance presence in this meeting. We will now get the apologies from both committees. Over to Secretariat.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, members. From the Private Members Committee, we received apologies from Honourable Terblanche and Honourable Van Wyk, and from the Finance Committee, from Honourable Marais. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The business that we'll be dealing with does not require decorum. We have to continue with the business as it is, and we will then get or reserve the decision for the necessary quorum of the committee responsible to finally taking a decision, which in this regard is the Private Members Legislative Proposals and Special Petitions. I would want to take us through to item 2 of the agenda. I'm sure the revised agenda should be circulated amongst ourselves. The initial one intend to have a presentation by the department. And then we have since received notification from the department that they themselves are not going to be here. However, is there anything that they commented on? Will not be introducing legislation similar to the one it is before ourselves. That's the communique that we received from the department, the treasury itself. Therefore, they are saying they themselves cannot be used to determine whether we proceed. We give the honourable member to proceed with this or not. It is solely in the discretions of the committee after we have been deliberating on the matter. Maybe just to assist in particular members from the Standing Committee on Finance, the committee to take a decision, it's guided by some principles that have been adopted by the committee, and as of now still waited at the ATC for Parliament adoption. However, we are at liberty to continuously using those, you know, principles. They are read as follow. A, it says, goes against the spirit, purported, and object of the Constitution. It means for us to consider to recommend the continuation or the proceeding of whatever proposal, it should not be against, you know, the spirit and purported and object of the Constitution. B, seeks to initiate legislation beyond the legislative competency of the National Assembly. One typical example is when you are dealing with international law. We may not, you know, sit and recommend anything that affect, you know, anything outside the jurisdiction of the Republic of South Africa. So we are limited within the scope of South Africa in whatever legislation we are considering. See, duplicate existing legislation or legislation awaiting consideration by the Assembly or the Council. It's very clear, I guess. D, preempt similar legislation soon to be introduced by the National Executive. E, in this regard, I'm sure the Ministry of Treasury is the one we're referring to. E will result in a monetary bill. We cannot conduct any business that will, you know, clearly have a monetary bill implication. And lastly, frivolous or vexatious, it should not be in any way, you know, fall within those two things. These are the guidelines that when we deliberate should always, you know, assist us to understand whether can we then consider to give the Honorable Member Davidson to proceed with the proposal in the House or not. I would want to take this opportunity now to open it for ourselves to talk to the proposal before ourselves. The reason this joint committee was requested was basically to avoid, you know, waiting to say the committee has not yet responded to our request and so on. So from this meeting we'll know the position of both committees, and then it will remain for us as private members to go and take a final decision, which we'll then forward to the House. I'm now opening this for members to deliberate. Anyone wanted to take a lead? Honorable Pretorius?
Chair, just one or two comments. I agree wholeheartedly with you that it wouldn't serve a purpose for the department to brief us on the contents of this at this stage. The only task we have is to measure it against the criteria that we've set ourselves. Where the department can play a role is with criteria number D. In other words, whether this preempt similar legislation soon to be introduced by the national executive, I'm not sure whether something is in the pipeline, but I'm quite convinced that all the other criteria are, the bill passes those criteria, except for that one, so maybe we can talk about the content of the bill compared to the criteria to see the way, what the way forward should be.
Thank you very much. Any?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Unfortunately, we seem not to have the similar documents here because I'm trying to go through.
I'm sorry for that. I thought they, you know.
But having said that, I've listened to the criteria that you have mentioned, and one of them, it actually touches on the Constitution itself. And if you look at the proposal that are being made by Honorable Davidson, it actually contradicts that part of the Constitution, which therefore then it has to follow the right steps, which it has to start from the national executives and then go down, and in this instance it was never followed. So as the Finance Committee, we then saying we do not agree with the proposal made by Honorable Davidson because it did not follow the proper criteria. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further input? Honorable Pretorius.
See, just to confirm that we have a legal opinion from Parliament's legal advisor to say that there is no conflict with the provisions of the Constitution in this proposal. So, saying that in response to the Honourable Member Tamini's comments there. we received the comments from the legal advisor to say that this will pass constitutional muster.
Can we try and give this documents, all documents, to members, particularly those that are coming from Standing Committee on Finance, please, so that we put them at a better level to enable them to do a meaningful contribution. I'm sure once you receive the packages, the legal opinion comes immediately after the proposal itself, schedule, the bill, and so on and so on. Then it becomes, you know, the legal opinion thereafter. Again, Honorable Pretoria.
So can I just make the comment again to say that our function here is not to deliberate on the contents of the proposal. That will happen if we pass it. If it passes all the criteria, the proposal will go to eventually land with the Finance Committee, probably. That is where all the content will be discussed and whether detailed discussions can take place, whether they agree to it or not. This is not this committee's function. This committee simply has to look at the 7 criteria and determine whether the proposal is in line or passes those 7 hurdles. That's all any function that we have at this stage.
No, I think that is very clear. What the Honourable Member was raising, if it's in line with the guidelines, she was referring to A, to say, in their own understanding, the proposal is against the, you know, what the Constitution has been calling for. It's not outside the, you know, periphery that we are supposed to. Okay? So, further inputs. Honorable Chairman.
I still insist saying that the Honorable Member is right. Ours is to actually check the proposed content by Honorable Davidson, whether it was within the criteria. And it is quite clear it was not within the criteria. Because it is not within the criteria, whatever advice is by the legal person, whatever he said, ours, as Honorable Members, we are to look whether we are legislators. Did we follow the legislation? In this instance, it was not followed by Honorable Davidson. Thank you.
Honorable Kelly.
Chairperson, I don't quite understand our deliberations today, because there were certain processes that we always followed. Now, it would have been helpful if we knew that there was something in the pipeline and that on the basis of that, one of the criteria that needs to be overcome is in fact to determine if something is being planned. Now, without that knowledge of whether there is something planned, that is the only criteria that is currently being crippled. I would suggest that if we have a legal opinion from Parliament, that is for this committee to decide on the criteria, is there anything that prevents us from going forward? Because that is how we will confine our consideration of the legislative proposal. The details of where it may infringe on constitutional rights, etc. That is the role of the Finance Committee. Once it's passed this test of moving forward, then obviously the detail must be looked at by the Finance Committee. So I don't think the Finance Committee should actually evaluate the criteria that we use as a private members legislative committee. And I would like to suggest that we just ask them if they are aware of any legislation that is coming the way to ensure that we have ethics in government, that we have better control over tenders, etc., etc. What is in the pipeline? Do they have any idea? And if not, then I do not see that we are engaging any further on this matter, because then it's a matter of the department to indicate to us, and then thereafter we must consider as a committee that we, based on the following criteria, we proceed, and we say to the member, yes, you may proceed and introduce, or, and then it goes through, you know, evaluating the detail, where it may infringe on constitutional rights, etc. That is another debate.
Honourable Chairman.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. You are right, Honourable Member. As the finance, we are looking at the monetary policies. We're looking at the framework itself, the fiscal framework itself, which also includes the procurement part of it. Isn't that so? Now, if it does include the procurement as such, then you will find that within the procurement itself as the policy, it talk about the finance, it talk about transparency, it talk about everything. Isn't that so? Now, if that is the case, now my argument is still the same. I am saying, yes, the proposal was made, but it was not, much as you see the finance committee not supposed to intervene as far as the constitutionality of the proposal, but we do not have a chance but to be involved because we are dealing with the fiscal framework, which are the policies which touches on the constitution. So you can't divide, you can't remove the one part from the other part. Thank you, Chair.
Maybe just to recap on the presentations that were delivered to us by Honourable Davidson. He made mention that he understands the difficulty that this legislation can you know, confront itself with. However, he then said he would leave, you know, this thing in an open way to say even the committee responsible may then consider taking the matter beyond what he proposed. To me, that testification was an indication that there will be some scenarios where people might see it either way or other side. Therefore, we cannot, even if he himself confirmed that there is some challenges that may still be, you know, within this particular legislation, for us to want to claim that no, nothing seem to be, everything will flow smooth, and it should not be the impression we are trying to create. The owner, the sponsor, confirmed that this might have, you know, some elements which required some amendments, some redrafting, and then all these kind of things. Therefore, that alone, it then justified the different opinions that you are debating from. It should not be seen as if somebody is fair, unfair. We are, all of us, you know, trying to find a better way to proceed with this particular proposal. I'm trying to ease, you know, the debate so that it should not be seen as we are becoming they and us, them and other side. We are collectively trying to look at how best do we proceed with this particular piece of proposal that is confronting us. Okay. I've had two different views. One is to say it looks like nothing, it's you know, forbidding us from giving a go ahead. But the other view is to say, particularly from the Standing Committee on Finance, to say we still suspect that constitution is not, you know, taken into consideration in totality. Honourable Rami.
And the finance too, we're also saying there is what we call the triple BEE, the broad base, and which is going parallel, you know, being amended. Now, if we move fast with the proposal made by Davidson, and there is this amendment of the triple BEE, are we not trying to duplicate? Why don't we just wait and see what the triple BEE Act will come out with, as far as ensuring the fairness, the transparency, and the proper management of the services and the goods by the state or the organ of the state.
So you are bringing again criterion C into our consideration to say something nearly similar to what we are debating is also in the pipeline. That's what you are saying, Honourable Kadia.
Chairperson, I think we must decide what this is about. This is effectively about contracting with the state a public representatives. That's the essence of it. So BBBEE, there may be areas where you would have communality, etc. But the essence of this is it goes about contracting with the state as public representatives. And that is why the legal opinion by Advocate Ross and Parliamentary Legal Advisor has been that this is what it is about. It proposes the enactment of the prohibition of certain contracting practices. Its purpose is to prohibit contracting between an organ of state in the national sphere of government and companies whose directors or shareholders are political public representatives or office bearers. That's what it is. And he says, I have scrutinized the proposal and I'm satisfied that it does not conflict with the provisions of the Constitution. Now, yes, as you have rightly put it, when Mr. Davidson, Honourable Davidson, made his presentation, he said it's a complex issue. It must be thoroughly sort of worded so that there couldn't be any conflict, and it should also not extend too far, etc. So you could, because ultimately, it's a difficult one to describe. However, the principle, none of the political parties in Parliament should object against the principle. The detail, obviously, one needs to look at. And I think that is the role of the Finance Committee. But I cannot see that because of policy revisions, as, you know, broad-based black economic empowerment, etc., that would be a prohibition to proceed with the legislation. I think it's the principle is at heart, and we should know, is there something in the pipeline where the finance department is going to come forward as part of the finance minister's cleanup operation with specific legislation that would curtail contracting with the state by public representatives? That is the essence of it. Thank you.
I may not be sure, but because Honourable Ramin, every time she presents, she's saying from the Standing Committee on Finance. I would want us to give them a space and thoroughly, you know, come up with their position so that we finalize the matter without, you know, because at the end of the day, whatever recommendation we arrive at, they will be the one who will be trusted with the proceeding of, you know, processing this particular legislation. I'm not sure how best can we, you know, manage the area that I'm raising. Honourable.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, in our meeting which we held on the 15th of March, deliberating on this aspect, I must indicate that as a committee we took cognizance of the fact that this proposal might be having far-reaching implications to individual members. And it's something that we are not going to, obviously, maybe do it rashly or without being very circumspect. So as a result, we then agreed that we'll write a letter. It's just that I'm not sure how far is that process. We'll write a letter to your committee where we are requesting an extension so that we broadly consult on this matter, and that's exactly where we are. So basically, I think concurs with your submission that
can we just respect each other's view, whether it's favored or not? Let's just, you know, give everybody similar space. I'm sorry for that.
That concurs with the submission that suggests that we really need some more time, I mean, to look into this matter as consultation processes are still taking place. Thank you.
You are, in a way, saying you are not yet in a position to finalize whatever you wanted to.
Yeah, definitely. We still need time because this is, and obviously we were disturbed by the election processes. I'm not sure as to when the date was set for this meeting. All these things were not taken into consideration. But basically that's where we are as a committee. We are in the process of consulting.
Is there any contrary view to the request towards saying let's have sufficient time to do the, because I'm sure we need to understand that this proposal speaks to you know, the authorities in South African political administration. And I'm sure the consultation you are mentioning of, it's not about just on the ground. It should have a political buy-in kind of a, you know, a decision, so that we don't waste time and become frivolous kind of, you know, something that we are doing, knowing that it will never go anywhere. Can we consider to maybe what we may need to do is to say, let's tighten this thing. Let's agree on how much time do we need, you know, to satisfy ourselves that we have consulted sufficiently, we have applied our mind, we have researched, so that when the committee advises Parliament, it should be genuine, based on, you know, sufficient information at the tips of our fingers. Honourable Member.
Thanks, Chair. That matter, Chair, becomes an administrative matter, because to sit here and discuss the time, or as we have requested time from the finance point of view, through our lines of protocol, we'll make sure that it gets to your office and then you can finalize it on the administrative point of view for both committees. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Pretorius.
Chair, it's fine. We respect the request from the Committee of Finance that they consult further on the matter. Can I just say that we, at the same time, while that happens, we must also then communicate with Treasury to make sure that criteria D is met or not met, that we know we're standing there.
I think that will be taken on board, and then it's our responsibility in particular as the private members, Honourable Members.
Can I just ask, you know, it's quite a curved ball being given to the Standing Committee of Finance. It is, you know, it is, if you look at the details of this legislation, it can be a very, very long debate. Why only the Standing Committee of Finance? Who took that decision that we should be the only committee that must comment on? You know, I know it's procurement, but this is not all about procurement. This is about the public representatives' right to do business, and even further, people that are not being paid by any level of public representation, just being a chairman of the Democratic Alliance in Swellendam. Now, he cannot do any business further. So, you know, so it's a long debate, this. It's just not simple. So why, I can understand we doing procurement, but is there not more committees that should comment on this?
I was, you know, listening, hoping that you will conclude by saying, like, these ones, bring them on board. But nonetheless, I think I agree with you that it goes beyond finance alone, because it implicates the way we are politicking in South Africa. Will you then set a branch chairperson at a, you know, a rural village down there should just stay there, not do business because it's a political office bearer? Because being a political office bearer, it doesn't necessarily mean national or provincial or district. It means a political office bearer. The fact that in your curriculum vitae you then said, I'm the chairperson of a branch in Mafefe. Mafefe, it's where I'm coming from, and it should become a popular example in Parliament. Because that's where I'm coming from. Okay, so I'm just, you know, saying, let's look at it in a broader way to say, indeed, I agree with him that maybe, as a committee on private members, we were very, you know, myopic. We were very limited, hoping that because it means money, business, it means finance. Let's go back and look at who else do we then, you know, talk to, and I think the research unit in this particular should you know go further to say, but who else is affected in this regard? And Honourable Kelly, and then followed Pretoria.
Chairperson, you know, think we should also take the ask our research unit to actually engage with other countries, because I know countries have introduced legislation, you know, to promote ethical behavior in public office, etc. And some of the countries' public accounts committees have actually initiated, well, actually, if Honorable Korenhof is saying a curveball, they've actually bowled a curveball to some of the finance committees, etc., and they introduced certain measures to uplift ethics in public life, you know, political. So I know it exists in certain countries. In fact, a public accounts committee of Gauteng legislature engaged with, and they went on a trip at one stage. I know this is Canada. I know this in Britain, and I know somewhere else on the European continent. But I know that there is some sort of type of legislation, because we can see that this is very wide ranging, but it must become practical. You know, and to uplift also perceptions about people in public office and politics. And I think that is a battle that we must really pioneer in South Africa, on the African continent as well, is to help steer this process to a sort of to make it practical, yet bring in measures to prevent insider trading between politicians and companies, etc., positions of privilege. So I do know that exists, and I would like to ask if we can't, in the meantime, also get copies of such legislation so that we can actually compare and see where are we going to and where can we learn from what is practical in introducing this type of legislation. Thank you,
Chair.
I just want to remind the committee that Minister Davidson, in his presentation, reminded us or asked us not to be blinded by the bill as proposed, as submitted. That was merely a guideline to assist the committee. The concept is what we should look at, the concept of political parties being involved in contracting. So he agreed that the bill as he proposed himself might be totally different in the end. And he also made the point that no international research was done at the time. So in agreement with Mrs. Killian here, that we should perhaps do that. So when we consider the proposal, we should really look at the concept only, and not forget about the proposed bill that he submitted.
I'm glad we seem to agree. Let's do further work before we can arrive at the determination, so that we don't create, you know, unnecessary work for Parliament. We should refer to whatever we then said we have done our best to, you know, to arrive at the specific determination. I guess this is the consensus that we're agreeing on, to say the matter would then be seized with ourselves before we arrive at the decision, and at an appropriate time we'll take a decision well informed by all the necessary, you know, information we require to have before we arrive at that. Okay?
Yeah.
And I want to thank everybody for this, you know, healthy participation that we had, and it's like in the light of consensus, there's nothing more that we need to do except to say enjoy your day, continue having other business on Parliament. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Hello.